In the late 17th century, an Italian theologian wrote of a woman in Pavia, Italy, who for years was awakened in the night by a soft, seductive voice that later appeared as a small, golden-haired man. Hieronima felt kisses on her skin, while the voice and man tempted her into sex. Later, an unseen force moved people and objects around the house, or caused them to disappear entirely. Though it sounds like a far-fetched story, it's largely consistent with thousands of other documented cases of what's now called sleep paralysis, and even with cases of alleged alien abduction, and it illustrates the important role of sexuality in all of these experiences. In the late 17th century, the Italian theologian, Friar Ludovico Maria Sinistrari of Ameno, wrote a treatise on demons that incited the sin of fornication by having sex with consenting victims, or by causing them to masturbate. Amongst philosophers of the time, the existence of these demons, called incubi when male and succubi when female, was well established, but little else was known of them. For the sake of illustration, Sinistrari related the account of Hieronima of Pavia, Italy, which he learned of while working as a professor at a local convent beginning in the late 1640s. The manuscript tells us that Hieronima was well regarded in her community, and that she lived with her husband, her three-year-old daughter, and a servant girl. One day, she brought some dough to the baker's, but when she returned for the bread, the baker presented her with a Venetian-style cake as well. The baker insisted that it must have been hers since she was his only customer that day, so she took it home and ate it with her family and servant. The following night, Hieronima was awakened by a soft, whistling voice in her ear asking her how she liked the cake. She immediately made the sign of the cross and repeated the names of Jesus and Mary, but the voice assured her that it meant her no harm. It was struck by her beauty and only wanted to please her. As it said this, Hieronima felt the sensation of someone kissing her cheeks with soft, tender lips. After about half an hour, the feeling stopped and the voice went silent. But the following nights, Hieronima heard the voice again, begging, moaning, and crying for her love. After several nights of the same seduction, Hieronima's confessor had her examined by exorcists, who found no signs of demonic possession. Though they blessed the house and bed, and ordered the voice to leave, the experiences continued. Sinistrari claims that exorcists have no power over incubi. One night, a small, youthful man dressed like a Spanish noble appeared in Hieronima's room. He had curly golden hair, sea-green eyes, and a gleaming golden beard. Like the voice, the man begged for Hieronima's touch and sent her kisses, desperately trying to seduce her. The man appeared quite frequently from then on, when Hieronima was in bed with her husband, or when she was in the company of others, though no one else could see or hear him but her. Though Sinistrari never says so explicitly, it's implied that Hieronima is unable to get out of bed, or to wake her husband during her experiences, suggesting that both partners are confined or paralyzed. At some point, Hieronima began to experience poltergeist activity in her home. A number of jewels, rings, and religious accessories, including a silver cross filled with holy relics, disappeared, some from inside a locked casket. She then began to feel forceful blows from an unseen attacker, though her bruises would vanish a day or two later. Sometimes, when Hieronima was breastfeeding, her daughter would disappear from her lap, only to be discovered on the roof or hidden in the house. Plates and pottery were smashed to pieces and instantly restored to their original condition. One night, after Hieronima refused the bearded man's advances, he left the room and returned with piles of flagstone, commonly used for roofing in the area. The man stacked the stones into a wall around her bed that reached nearly to the ceiling, and the couple had to have their servant bring a ladder to get them out. The stones were disassembled and stacked in a corner of the house, and vanished after 2 days. On a feast day, Hieronymus' husband invited some friends for dinner. Just before the guests sat down to eat, the table suddenly vanished, along with all the food, drinks, and dishes. But as the guests were about to leave, the table returned, loaded with exquisite foods, fine wines, and expensive new dishes. There were even new foods, jugs, and utensils in the kitchen. The guests gorged themselves on the meal. Then later, the original contents of the table reappeared, but they were all too full to eat it. After several months of seduction, Hieronyma visited the body of Bernardino of Feltre, a renowned Franciscan friar, where she vowed to wear a monk's robe for a year in order to repel her tempter. During the Feast of Saint Michael, she went to Mass with a large crowd of people. As she stepped onto church grounds, her robes fell to her feet and blew away in the wind, leaving her completely naked. The clothes, along with the jewelry stolen earlier, reappeared some 6 months later. According to Sinistrari, the temptation of Hieronyma continued for many years, and many more devious tricks were played, but the strange man eventually left for good. Hieronyma's case is brought to us by a single source only, so it's impossible to verify that the events happened as reported. At the same time, however, it contains a number of elements frequently reported in historical cases of incubi and succubi, as well as in modern cases of sleep paralysis and alien abduction. The first interesting element in the story is the offer and ingestion of a foreign food item. In another video, we saw that a Swedish farmer in the 18th century was offered food and drink by beings he encountered in a strange red mansion in some alternate reality. In 1961, an American chicken farmer named Joe Simonton saw a round, silvery saucer land in his yard. Its occupants motioned for water, and when Simonton returned with a full jug, they made him 4 tasteless buckwheat pancakes and flew away. These offerings may convey a deeper symbolic meaning as tokens of exchange, agreement, or consent. In the Celtic fairy tradition, it's believed that if you eat the food that fairies offer, you'll be trapped in their world forever. Maybe Hieronyma's decision to eat the cake served as an invitation for the voice to prey on her for as long as it did. The second interesting element of Hieronyma's case is the presence of a supernatural sexual tempter. The world's earliest civilizations spoke of similar entities. The ancient Sumerians, Akkadians, Assyrians, and Babylonians wrote of female demons called Lilitu that caused erotic dreams and night terrors. In the 4th century CE, Saint Augustine pronounced that beings like these were undoubtedly real and known across cultures. Their intentions were sinister. Sex was thought to be a way for demons to inhabit human bodies, or for witches to acquire supernatural powers. In the 15th century Malleus Maleficarum, the most influential text on witchcraft for the next 300 years, it is stated that women enslave themselves to the devil by submitting to sex with him. Many believe that incubi could procreate, making hybrid children called cambions, though most theologians believe that incubi used the sperm stolen from human men to do so. A number of legendary figures in history were said to have been cambions, including the wizard Merlin of Arthurian lore. Against the intellectual opinion of his time, Sinistrari believed that incubi and succubi weren't demons, but a species of rational beings with souls like humans, but subtler physical bodies. In the medical literature, experiences with incubi and succubi are thought to be incidental hallucinations triggered by a neurological condition known as sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis is thought to occur when the waking stages of sleep overlap with REM sleep, in which the body is normally chemically paralyzed. The extreme sense of panic resulting from being unable to move causes the victim's subconscious mind to conjure up the sights and sounds of a threatening scenario. The condition is thought to explain not only cases of incubi and succubi, but encounters with other nighttime spirits in folklore and mythology, as well as alien abductions. However, some of those suffering from sleep paralysis claim that their experiences bleed over into waking life, as Hieronymus did, and there is a remarkable similarity in these supposed hallucinations as they occur around the world. In Fiji, the experience is known as Kana Tavoro, or being eaten by a demon. In Tibet, the experience is called Dip Nan, and it's believed that a shadowy spiritual pollution oppresses the victim's body. In the Swahili culture of Southeast Africa, sleep paralysis experiences are known as jinamizi, which translates to strangled by a jinn. The jinn are a race of supernatural beings mentioned in the Quran, and they're blamed for sleep paralysis experiences in much of the Muslim world as well. Today, many Westerners see an old hag, or a black, shadowy humanoid. Folklorist David Hufford has argued that neither one's culture nor one's particular brain state can account for the fact that most people sense the presence of a conscious supernatural being or figure, and never experience any other threatening scenario, like the walls closing in, or terrorists entering the room. A number of researchers have also pointed out the intriguing parallels between cases of incubi and succubi, and cases of alien abduction. Abductees are frequently visited while paralyzed in their beds, and they're often made to copulate with alien beings and conceive hybrid children. Indologist David Gordon White, as well as Jeffrey Kripal, a scholar of comparative religion, have also noted how the same features appeared in stories from medieval South Asian tantric tradition. Its practitioners believe that almond-eyed female sky beings known as yoginis descended to Earth in powerful vessels to frighten, abduct, and seduce sleeping men, and even to collect their semen. Hieronymus' case also grew to include poltergeist activity, which many parapsychologists and ghost researchers believe to be an effect of extreme emotional distress, and not the work of an outside spirit. Maybe the voice was responsible for these effects, or maybe they were caused by Hieronymus herself, a physical manifestation of the mental anguish that she suffered. The ufologist Jacques Vallée discussed Hieronymus' case in his seminal book, Passport to Magonia, and quoted extensively from the original primary source account, making it accessible to general readers. An English translation of Sinistrari's original manuscript, Demoniale Tate et Incubus et Succubus, can now be found online. With only one source, the story of Hieronymus is impossible to verify, but it's consistent with centuries of thinking on the Litu, incubi, and other visitors from the spirit world, and also with reports of sleep paralysis and alien abduction documented in the modern day. It's likely that there is some common cause behind all these cases, even a psychic or psychological one, that links them in a way that we don't yet understand. Whatever Hieronymus struggled with, it's still a power beyond our comprehension.